For the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at 2 Corinthians. And the way I design my classes is I like to have question sheets for you. Not that I'm going to ask them for review and grade them, but it's actually for you to assist you in your study as we go through this particular book. We finished up 1 Corinthians last week, and we are going to continue on those same lines. For next week, I have questions for chapter 1 on the back foyer, and we're going to do the same thing on Wednesday nights for the book of Ruth to assist you in your studies. These questions are going to guide you through those particular books, the book of Ruth and 2 Corinthians. I must be getting something because Faye's not here. And my voice I'm losing, so please be patient with me. And I'm missing something here. Okay, like I said, we're going to be studying Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And we see that Paul, in his teachings, in his communication to the saints at Corinth, he wanted to teach them by example. He wanted to share with them the joy they should have. We also want to note that Paul wanted to show the type of relationships they should be in, those good relationships. He's teaching from the sincerity of his heart. He was defending his reputation to those false teachers. He wanted to let them know the leadership of that congregation had responsibilities. Just like in a local congregation here, the leadership has responsibilities, and also the members have responsibilities. He wanted to make sure everybody was accountable for what they did in Corinth, and that is applicable to us today also. He's going to discuss reconciliation, what it means, what we are supposed to do, and how we are supposed to act. In the second letter, he's going to introduce how we as Christians or the saints at Corinth have to deal with working with non-Christians. He wanted to encourage the saints at Corinth to be generous with their giving, which is applicable to us today, and to use the wealth they have, not for their own conveniences, but actually for others. They wanted Paul to use, Paul stated that he wanted them to give generously. Give generously, as it applies to us today also. And that also doesn't just apply to monetary means, but also your time. There are Christians today who need our assistance, even if it's an ear of comfort, an ear of listening to what they have to say. And Paul wanted to share this with the saints at Corinth. Corinth I'm not going to go to an elaborate study on Corinth. We have seen pictures in the past, but essentially Corinth was known for commerce, for trade. It had an isthmus between east and the west, and it was convenient for those who are in the shipping industry to access this isthmus, and eventually they built a canal so that the ships didn't have to go around and waste all that time. So basically it was a gateway between two harbors on the east and the west. And they are one in, like, Lichcom, which is located 1.5 miles to the west of the Corinth Gulf, and Caesarea, which is located 6 miles to the east on the Saronic Gulf. Over the years, what they had conjured up was to move the goods from one side of the isthmus to the other so that it will expedite their shipping of these goods from east to west and from west to east. Being a city of commerce, trading goods and so forth, there were a lot of people that infiltrated Corinth, the city of Corinth. A lot of different ideas, a lot of different things that were happening. Paul had his work cut out for him in the city. These people were very... The word I'm looking for is these people were very affluent. They wanted to do things that assisted them. For example, if there was a teacher that came into town and he didn't accept money, there was something wrong with that individual. And Paul, in his teachings, never took any support from the saints of Corinth. He had other support, one being he was a tent maker, he worked with his hands. Others supported him, like saints from Macedonia. But yet he didn't take any money from the saints of Corinth. That's one of the items that false teachers had against Paul. Well, here's a guy that comes into your midst and doesn't ask you for any money. What's wrong with that? People of that day thought it was an insult. They didn't accept someone not taking any money for his work. Well, Paul, and as we see today, the gospel's for everyone. It should be free of charge. I know some individuals who are, quote, preachers. They come into an assembly and it's great to hear them. So someone asks them a question, would you teach? The first question out of the first response out of that individual's mouth is, how much are you going to pay me for what I know? I think that's wrong. The gospel should be free of charge to everyone. Jesus didn't accept money for preaching the word. Paul, he got support from some other peoples, but yet that wasn't the main goal for him to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. His goal was to share the gospel message so that others can receive salvation, so that their souls will not be lost. And that's something that we today keep in the back of our minds, that the gospel is for everyone. In this book, we're going to see three different areas that Paul's going to focus on in his letter, to the second letter to the Corinthians. First of all, Paul's going to explain the reason for the changes in his itinerary and to express joy at the favorable response to Paul's ministry in the first seven chapters. He's going to address the difficulties the brethren had, what they were experiencing in the church. And he touched upon that in his first letter with sin they were facing, the immorality, and how people tolerate that. The second letter, he's going to express joy for them from turning away from their sins and accepting those individuals back to the church. But also he's going to defend his apostleship. These false teachers were spreading rumors that he wasn't an apostle. He just claimed to be an apostle. When we study Paul's life, we see the struggles, the turmoils, and the sufferings he went through for the cause of Christ. We see how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, where he was converted. And during that particular reading, we see that Ananias questioned the Lord. He said, why should I go to this guy Paul? He's the one that's persecuting your saints. And Jesus said to him, you go to him, because he's going to be my instrument to the Gentiles. And also, he's going to suffer for my sake. How are we as Christians in this land that we live suffering for Jesus today? Are we willing to stand up like Paul to combat those who are false teachers, those who are sending a message of hate, those who are walking contrary to God's word? Also, this letter we read about Paul, it's a glimpse of his personal life. He had many difficulties. In the 11th chapter of this book, he shares with the saints at Corinth, and also with us as we read this particular book, of what he endured for the cause of Christ. He didn't complain about it. I know there were at times when he was very down about it. In fact, one of the things that come to my mind is before Paul went to Corinth, he stopped in Athens. And Athens was a very sinful city. People wanted to talk about philosophies, talk about ideas. And Paul, in his sermon on Mars Hill, shared with them the gospel. And he did it in such an eloquent way that people were astounded on his presentation. So the second letter to the Corinthians, and actually there was a third letter we'll talk about a little bit that was lost. It was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. It must have been a letter that really came down hard on the saints for them engaging and allowing this sin of immorality to take place and to not respond to it. So Paul, in this second letter, as we have it in the Bible, that he expresses his love, his concern, and affection for those who are in Corinth. And he wanted to know that he only had the best interest of theirs in mind. When false teachers attack Paul's credibility, it hurt him. And he expected the saints at Corinth to stand up for him. Did they? No. But yet he didn't care. He still had a love for the saints there. We read in Acts 8, chapter 18, verses 1 through 18, on how Paul arrived at Corinth, met Priscilla and Aquila, and stayed in Corinth to help proclaim the gospel in the city of Corinth. And that's how the church was established on his second missionary journey. So Paul is going to express joy, and also he's going to be very grateful for their response to them from turning away from sin. Also, Paul in this letter, in chapters 8 and 9, he's going to encourage the saints at Corinth to complete their collection that they started a year prior for the saints in Jerusalem. The saints in Jerusalem, as we know, they were very poor. When a lot of them, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching that sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse, we see that there were many heard the message, many repented from their sins, and many obeyed the gospel. There were 3,000 souls added to the church on that particular day. A lot of them stayed in Jerusalem, and there was a problem with housing, what they were going to eat. So they had a need. And Paul is telling the saints at Corinth, if you can, help them. He's not demanding that if you don't have anything, go out and get a loan and send money. But if you have the ability, assist them. And since they started talking about this a year prior to Paul's coming, he wanted them to finish what they started so that they could send this money to this gift to the saints at Jerusalem. In the last section of this book, Paul is going to combat false teachers. Paul's apostleship he's going to defend. And if necessary, if Paul was going to return, he was going to exercise discipline of those people who didn't turn from their sins. Something that the false teachers were saying about Paul, well, here's a guy who writes these bold letters, but yet when he's here in the presence of us, he's just meek and lowly. But yet Paul wanted the saints at Corinth to grow up, basically. He wanted them to walk the walk and talk the talk, which is applicable to us today as we read the Bible. Apply those things that we learn from God's Word and don't deviate from it. I know Satan will use a lot in his power to try to draw you away. But stand fast. And if it's a problem, pray to God that he will assist you. Well, we have many brothers and sisters here who are willing to help each and every one of us. Lean on them so that you may not be drawn into these temptations. So I wrote a bunch of questions out for you. And the first questions I'll answer, what was the purpose in writing 2 Corinthians? He wrote to them before, twice before. One letter was lost, as we discussed. You could read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. And I don't plan on teaching 1 Corinthians because we're in 2 Corinthians. So what did Paul expect from the brethren in this letter? We see that, first of all, Paul wanted to express comfort to them and joy to them because he felt that the saints of Corinth had responded favorably to his letters. And we have reference to that, and we'll discuss these more as we get into the individual chapters. We see that first chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, and chapter 12 and 13. Since false teachers were in their midst and they were listening to them, to those false, the saints of Corinth were listening to those false teachers, Paul wanted to win the affection of these saints back again. Paul loved them as a father loves their children, and he didn't expect anything in return, but he wanted to point out the error of those false teachers. In fact, we could look at most of Paul's life. He was affected by false teachers. People who came in and said, he's teaching wrong. We have to remember in the first century, when people were converted to Christianity, they came out of Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, and now they're under a new covenant. Sometimes it was hard for them to break away from the old law. But we who are Gentiles, who weren't under the bondage of Old Testament law, we understand that through Christ is a means of salvation, not through traditions or what's in the old law, but it's in Christ. And people have to realize that. And the saints at Corinth had to respect that. So Paul's love for them was great. We also see that Paul wanted to share his troubles he had endured in Asia. If you remember on Paul's second missionary journey, he was told not to preach the gospel in a certain area. Next thing you know, the Lord led him to Macedonia. There must have been a reason why the Lord didn't want him to preach in Macedonia. in Asia. So he had troubles there. In this letter, he wanted to explain why he changed his travel plans. And we could find that in chapter 1, verses 12, so chapter 2, verses 4. False teachers in Corinth was using that particular vacillation of changing plans, saying that Paul doesn't speak the truth. He just wants to flip-flop. We also see that he had a concern for those individuals who sinned. And he said, forgive the offending party. If they turn away from their sins, forgive them. And we find that in the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. He also wanted to share his thoughts on being yoked with unbelievers. And we'll read that in the sixth chapter. Paul wanted to explain to them what the true nature and high calling of Christianity, of preaching the gospel meant. There's going to be joys, there's going to be sufferings, and there's going to be rewards. You may not see the rewards in your lifetime, but yet you will reap the benefits of those hard things that you go through in this life when you're with Christ Jesus in heaven. Joys, we're going to see people rejoicing for the gospel message, and you rejoice with them. Sufferings, we're going to see people who are suffering for the cause of Christ, and eventually their reward is going to be in heaven. Paul's purpose again in teaching and in writing 2 Corinthians was to teach the saints about grace of giving, and also he was going to emphasize that they should complete the work they started in chapters 8 and 9. Also, we see that he's going to deal with those who are opposing him, and he had the right to stand up for his cause. When people say that he's not an apostle, but yet the Lord appeared to them and was chosen him as an instrument to go before the Gentiles. And he also wanted to prepare the saints for his upcoming visit. Paul didn't want to go to the church for disciplinary reasons. He wanted to go to see those saints in a joyous occasion. So that's why he wrote these letters, so that maybe they may turn from their sin. We see in this letter, he's going to talk about God. He's going to portray God as the Father, as a merciful comforter. Something that also be indelled upon our minds. And that's found in chapters 1 and 7. It's going to portray God as the creator. The one who raised Jesus from the dead. In chapter 4, verse 14, and chapter 13, verse 4. And also, God's going to praise those who believe him, those who obey the gospel, and those who are striving to be faithful. It's not by our merits that we are going to go to heaven. It's by God's grace and mercy we may have that opportunity. But he expects you and I, Christians today, as well as those Christians in the past, to live a God-fearing life. He's also going to portray Jesus in this particular letter. The one who suffered, chapter 1, verse 5. He suffered not only for the saints at Corinth, but for all mankind. Jesus fulfilled God's promise. He was the ultimate sacrifice that God required for the sins of the world. And Jesus, in chapter 4 and verse 5, was proclaimed Lord. And again, the next verse in chapter 4, Jesus manifested God's glory. And also, Jesus was the one who in his incarceration became poor for those believers. He shouldered sin and he took it to the cross. He's also going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The Spirit is the guarantee of believers' salvation. Chapter 1, verse 22, and also chapter 5, verse 5. He also is going to talk about Satan. He is the God of this age. Chapter 4, and verse 4. He is the deceiver. Chapter 11, verse 14. And also, he is the leader of human and angelic deceivers. He's using all his influence and his powers, what he has, to allow these false teachers to try to deceive Christians. And that's happening today also. So the second question on your sheet, hopefully you get through them. Who is the author of 2 Corinthians? Paul. And how do we know that?
Verse 1.
He said, Paul, an apostle, thank you, Lee, Carol, and Saber, of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Arcadia. We also see in chapter 10 and verse 1, now I, Paul, myself urge you by meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. So Paul is the author. And how does Paul describe himself? Okay, as an apostle, we see in verse 1. We also see as an earthen vessel. He's human, like you and I. Chapter 4 and verse 7, we read, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what is that treasure? That's the gospel in earthen vessels. That's the body he dwells in while he's here on earth. So that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be of God and not of ourselves. He gave God the glory and God the recognition. Not himself. Yes, Carol.
On where it's talking about Paul saying he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he's also, because of the controversy of them saying he's not an apostle, he's not only invoking the name of Jesus Christ, but he's also saying, by the will of God. That's the miracles and everything that are attesting to it. So he's pulling out the big guns in this verse and saying it's not just by Jesus, it's by the will of God also.
Exactly. In fact, here's Paul, who worked in Corinth for a year and a half. And he performed those miracles. And yet now that he's away, they don't believe him. You know, it's hard. Even when Jesus walked this earth and he performed miracles, they wanted more from him. But yet if they didn't believe the prophets before, why are they going to believe him now? You know, that's something that we have to remember. Also, Carol mentioned that Paul referred to himself as meek and bold. We see in chapter 10 and verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself urge you by meekness and gentleness of Christ. For I am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent." He wanted to make sure the saints at Corinth were living a godly life. And there's no excuse for that. He taught them, and when he has false teachers trying to draw them away, as we have in today's world, we should watch that. When was the church at Corinth established? We talked a little bit about that.
I checked on that. I think it was the spring of 57.
Uh-huh. Some commentaries have it anywhere from 51 to 57. We read when it was established in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 18. And also, we see that after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And that's Paul. So who did he meet at Corinth when he arrived? Very good. Aquila and Priscilla. And what do we know about them?
They came from Rome.
They were tent makers. So they had a common tie. And that was in their profession, tent makers.
They also taught Apollos.
They taught Apollos, right. So there's a lot of things we know about these two, this husband and wife. But yet Paul was drawn to them because of this common bond he had with them. And then he didn't have to inflict pain on having the saints at Corinth support him. Because he was going to work. He was going to do his thing with Aquila and Priscilla. I keep on wanting to switch those around. And I always thought for years Aquila was a girl. It had an A at the end. What do I know? From where did Paul write his first letter to the Corinthians? And we should have studied this a couple of weeks ago. We hit on Ephesus. Very good. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. He was in Ephesus, and he heard about the trouble they were having. So he writes them this letter and encourages them to turn away from that sin. Hey, this is not something you should be doing. And the saints who were striving to live a godly life allowed this stuff to go on. There's a different relationship Christians have with Christians who are relatives to each other. So you have to work on that. You have to look at that. If a Christian has an unfaithful child, he deals with that Christian a certain way. But other Christians have to deal with him, try to bring him back, and if that doesn't work, there's a severed relationship there. So there is a means of doing that. So where did Paul write the second letter? Okay, somewhere in Macedonia. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, we don't know. But yet, when Titus came back to him with the news, he wrote this letter. And he wanted the saints to know of his love and affection for them. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts within, fears without." Chapter 8 and verse 1, "Now brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." So we were somewhere in Macedonia.
Troas?
Troas is not in Macedonia. No. But Macedonia is the upper region above Corinth. So he wanted to let the saints know of his joy and happiness. But also he wanted to defend his apostleship. In chapter 9 and verse 2 we read, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." Not that there's a competition, but yet they had an urgent desire, the saints of Corinth, to help those who are in need. And that's something that should rest upon our minds. We should have a desire to help others to our ability. When did he write this letter? Well, I read a number of commentaries anywhere from 55 to 57. I don't know. It's hard to pin a date. If it was in the scriptures, I could relate to that. But when you read different commentaries, there's so much off depending on how they put things together. We don't know. But in that time frame. Who's the rival likely prompted Paul's writing of this epistle?
Titus.
Right. We find that where?
Chapter 7,
verses 6 and 7. Thank you, Lee. "Before God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so I rejoiced even more." So they wanted to see Paul. They had a zeal for him. And this made Paul happy. What plagued the saints at Corinth? We read this intensively in the first book we studied, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians.
Idolatry,
very good. Infected with sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, chapter 5. They had split by factions who were dragging each other to court. Christians were dragging other Christians to court. Paul stated that in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And also, they had spiritual gifts that were granted to them. They were abusing them. And we cover that in chapters 12 to 15 of the first book. And finally, false teachers were undermining Paul's ministry. And we'll study that when we get to chapters 10 to 13 in this particular book. Finally, what were the accusations the false teachers were challenging Paul's apostolic authority with? That's a mouthful, though, particularly.
He broke our plea, but he spoke for them, you had said.
Exactly. He changed his mind a lot. Not so much as his mind, but his plans change. Like us today, when our plans change, we relate that. We see in the first chapter, 15 to 17, he was going to go to Corinth, but he had to change his plans. We also see, as Saber had mentioned, his speaking ability. He probably wasn't a dynamic speaker, but yet he spoke truth. And that's something that we should do in our lives, speak the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. His letters are weighty and strong, but his personal appearance is unimpressive, and his speech contemptible. This is how false teachers view them. And finally, they had this against Paul. He refused to accept financial support. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. For I did not sin in humbling myself so that you might not be exalted, because I preached the gospel of you without charge. It was free. He did it for their benefit. That concludes our introduction. Next week we'll get into chapter 1, and those questions, if you haven't picked up them already, they're on the back for you. Thank you very much for your time.